especially this morning like to congratulate all of you on this beautiful new facility. I was hoping to be able to come last month for the dedication, but I'm glad you're able to come and see it. And I would especially like to thank and commend those who came forth with significant contributions to help pay off the loan from the bank. And I encourage you to continue to support the church. Remember that God is generous with those who are generous with Him. So continue your financial support, and we look forward to the improvements that will be done on the church. I'd like to remind everyone of the Easter duty that all the faithful are obligated to receive Holy Communion during the Easter time, which began last Sunday and lasts up until Trinity Sunday. There will be a ladies' retreat this Saturday, first Saturday, after the 8 o'clock Mass. There will be a spiritual talk, opportunities for confession, stations of the cross for mothers, and a holy hour with benediction. Please bring your own Lenten breakfast to eat in the kitchen after Mass, and observe silence and recollection during the retreat. There is also given in the bulletin on this, on the back page, a novena of prayers to our Blessed Mother, to St. Joseph and St. Philomena in thanksgiving. And we encourage you to pray that on your own. We should always remember the importance of gratitude. Gratitude for the blessings that God has given to us. And I know you were praying so long for a church, a new church, and now having obtained this facility, the importance of gratitude. And I would like to ask you to, as always, carefully read over all of the announcements in the bulletin. Also, and I had forgotten this at the first Mass, but I brought some copies of our seminary newsletter called The Guardian. If you're not on the mailing list, you're welcome to request to be put on it, and the address is on the back page. You could write in or give me that information before I leave. So there are copies on the table in the vestibule for those who are not already on the mailing list. Today's epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from God, I'm sorry, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias, talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. My dearly beloved in Christ, at first glance, it seems a bit strange that here in Lent, we're reading this gospel of the glorious vision of our Lord that was given to three of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. We often refer to them as the chosen disciples, because our Lord took them alone on several occasions with him. So Peter, James, and John witnessed our Lord being transfigured, where his garments became white as snow, and it says his face shone like the sun. But also notice, there appeared with our Lord, speaking with him, Moses and Elias. Moses, through whom God gave the Ten Commandments. So Moses symbolized the law. In fact, the law in the Old Testament was often referred to as the Mosaic Law. And also, Elias was considered the greatest of the prophets. So Elias symbolized all of the prophets, represented all of the prophets. And what did they speak to our Lord about? Now, today's gospel is the account given by St. Matthew, but St. Luke adds a few more details. And he says they were speaking to him, our Lord was speaking to them, Moses and Elias, about his coming passion, how he would suffer and be put to death, and how he would fulfill all of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. So perhaps that is a reason why it is the gospel is placed here during the season of Lent. But also notice that Peter, James, and John were the same apostles who witnessed the agony of our Lord in the garden. They saw our Lord crushed down, as it were, to the ground by the weight of our sins, his sweat becoming as drops of blood. And what a shocking experience that was for them, who had always seen our Lord in complete command. Our Lord who worked so many miracles and was able always to refute the Pharisees who challenged him, always seemed in complete control, and now he was crushed down with sorrow during his agony in the garden. And perhaps if these three had not previously experienced the transfiguration, they would have completely lost faith in our Lord. But the fact that our Lord showed himself in this glorious way reminds them and reminds us that we should glory in the cross. St. Paul speaks about that. I will glory in nothing but in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that to the Gentiles, the cross is foolishness, but to us, it is the power of God. So imagine the Gentiles who first heard the gospel, and they would have said, what? You mean to tell us that God sent his Son into the world to suffer for man, his creatures, that he experienced such a terrible passion and death? So the cross is a stumbling block. It is a scandal, as St. Paul says, to many. Because they think, how could this be that the Son of God would go through this terrible passion? But we know why it is. It is because of his love for us. And our Lord says to us that just as he has suffered and died for us, so we must carry our cross for love of him. You know, a good teacher teaches by example. Our Lord didn't just say to the apostles, take up your cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And he leads us and gives us the example. So let us glory as St. Paul did in the Passion and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our glory, and it is our privilege to bear the cross with Christ, to offer up our sufferings, our trials. During Lent, we give up things. We deny ourselves things we like. But let us remember that our first cross, our best cross, is to bear with patience the trials that God sends us, that we did not choose. How often does it happen that we have a trial to experience and we have to tell everybody about it? We're seeking human comfort. But by bearing that cross patiently, silently, not seeking human comfort, we are earning great graces. So let us remember that our first cross is the cross of daily duty, which means not only fulfilling your duties as a father, a mother, husband, wife, children to their parents, etc., but also bearing with the trials that God sends your way. Now, we have to admire St. Peter. In this incident, Peter felt that he had to do something for our Lord. And he begins by saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And then they heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And they were so struck with fright that they fell down with their faces to the ground. But think about those words of St. Peter, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Can we not also all say the same thing? It is good that I am here attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is good that I can come to this church to worship Almighty God, to attend the Mass, to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, to receive instruction, to pray. And it is good that we are here in the church, not this church building, but in Holy Mother Church, members of the mystical body of Christ. It is good indeed that we are here. What blessings God has given to us. And we must never forget the duty of gratitude. In fact, what do we call the time after receiving communion? We call it a thanksgiving, because we emphasize that duty of giving thanks for what God has given to us. If we are not grateful and we do not express our gratitude to Almighty God for His blessings, then we do not deserve future blessings. So let us remember the importance of gratitude. The Catechism tells us that the Mass is offered for four reasons, and the same as the four ends of prayer. First of all, to adore Almighty God, our Creator, to whom we owe everything. So we give Him adoration. Second, gratitude, thanksgiving. It is a very strict duty to thank God for His blessings. Third, to offer atonement, to tell God we are sorry for our sins. And by devoutly attending Mass, we unite with our Lord, who offers Himself to His Heavenly Father in atonement for our sins. The Mass is the propitiatory sacrifice, the renewal, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And then finally, and very importantly, we have our prayers of petition, which our Lord desires that we ask for much, and we ask for what we need. So adoration, thanksgiving, reparation, petition. But let us not forget that duty of thanksgiving. Even as human beings, if we are kind to someone, we give a gift to someone, we do something nice for someone, and that person doesn't even say thank you, we feel offended. And we probably have the attitude, well, I'm not going to do something nice for him or her anymore, because that person is not grateful. Don't you think that God must have somewhat the same reaction? For those who receive His blessings and never say thank you. So let us be sure to thank God for His blessings. By so doing, we make ourselves deserving of future benefactions. So it is good indeed for us to be here. It is good, what a blessing, to have the true faith, especially in an age when so many have lost it. Let us thank God for these blessings, and let us continue to strive to be deserving of them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.